Today on The Novelizers, a special crossover episode with the Sleep With Me podcast.
There was a matrix made of computers. There was a guy who could dodge all of the bullets. He lived in fluid, just like a fetus. But he was born again like baby Jesus. Novelize that movie. Write a book and also read it to me.
Thank you, Amy Mann. Welcome to The Novelizers, a show where we take classic films, divide them into scenes, and give each scene to a different comedy writer to novelize, then a different actor to narrate. Everyone from Ira Glass to J.K. Simmons, from Rachel Dratch to Wayne Brady to Will Forte. This season, we're novelizing The Matrix. And we've got a special episode novelized and narrated by Drew Ackerman and the Sleep With Me podcast. Stephen, you're a fan of that show, right?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I'm also an insomniac, like most of the show's fans. It is. Have you ever heard of the show? It's kind of amazing. Drew has this, well, you wouldn't call it a typical soothing voice, but somehow it just works. And he like recounts old Star Trek episodes, and
he's just
Trader
putting
Joe's,
you to sleep.
He's just putting you to sleep.
and that's what we're going to do right now with our episode.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah. So I'm a huge fan. I can't wait to hear what he does with The Matrix.
All right. Well, before we get into it, Kevin, can you tell us where we are in our film, The Matrix?
Neo is now in the hands of the agents. They start interrogating him, but nothing is happening. Then Neo starts talking crazy to them, but he don't know that the agents are really like that. So he tells them to fuck off and that he wants a phone call. And they say it's hard to talk with no mouth. They remove his lips and stick a bug in his belly button.
I think I developed a new fetish right there. That was a very, very sexy voice of you describing that. Starting a bug in
especially when you said
belly button.
Bug in the belly button.
Yeah, somehow that is like...
Nothing lulls me to sleep like the idea of a bug in my belly button. It's great. Well, thank you so much, Kevin. I really appreciate that. And now, here's Drew Ackerman with his sleepy novelization of The Matrix.
Everybody, this is Scoots here. This is an interesting episode. It is a crossover episode, an experimental episode, behind-the-scenes episode, rolled up into one. I'm doing a crossover with the podcast The Novelizers, which with Andy Richter, which you probably heard in earlier me talking about him. The Novelizers with Andy Richter is classic films novelized by people that like TV comedy writers and other people, and narrated by your favorite comics and actors. And they've done some classics. They did season one was Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and they had a lot of great people. Wayne Brady, Patton Oswalt, Rachel Bloom, J.K. Simmons, Felicia Day, Chrissy Chong, Ira Glass, and many more. And I appreciate Stephen, who reached out to me to say, hey, what if you could be a part of this? So what I'm supposed to do is the writing part, which I realized, hey, I do my best writing in sleep, you know, Sleep With Me form. And they said, what a great podcast. So let's do a promotional, you know, we could do a crossover to promote the podcast and maybe make a little bit extra content around it. So I get to choose, and it was a tough choice between, for season three, I think it's going to be The Matrix. And the great part is the part of The Matrix I got to choose was a kind of a dream sequence. But so we're supposed to novelize it, right? So I figure what I'll do here is I'm going to go through the script that I have and kind of look through and kind of read it and just see, then try to, as I'm reading the script, see what's ready for novelization. And then I'll like watch the episode or have the episode run while I'm talking and then probably try to come up with the finished product, because it shouldn't be 50 minutes like this episode. Ideally, it would be around 50 minutes, right? I think it's only 8 pages, so it should be around 8 minutes or 8 to 10 minutes long. But we'll see. So this is fun. So, of course, I didn't write down where it's supposed to start up. But this happens in a part of the movie early on, and where Agent Smith, our favorite friendly person, is saying, "Mr. Anderson, you know, you say, I don't know what magic you're weaving, Hugo, but I hope that's your actual name." So Agent Smith, we'll just pick it up at page, I think I'm supposed to read when the dream sequence starts, but we'll see. And I'll make it sleepy, don't worry. So, but this is the end of an interview. It just will lead into the episode where he's saying, you know, "Mr. Anderson, there's this back and forth thing that already is a little bit dreamy." Up until this point, Neo's just a regular person with, you know, a name that could be spelled in, you know, different, like could be reversed, which I didn't realize till like 10 years after I saw the film. And this was a big movie to date people like me, that this was a big DVD purchase. Like, this was one they said, if you're going to watch it at home, don't watch it on VHS, man. Watch it on DVD. So this is about 20 minutes, 22 minutes in the movie. He says, tell me, Mr. Anderson, what good is a phone call if you can't speak? And then Neo tries to use the phone, but he has trouble opening his mouth, kind of like he hasn't had enough chat. He said, and Neo says in his head, "My goodness, I probably don't have enough chapstick on my lips. Does anyone have any chapstick? Any of you secret agents that are interviewing me?" And according to the script, you know, it makes Neo feel slightly uncomfortable. And then he says, even as, because of the fact that his lips feel like they need extra lubrication, his jaw tightens, and the agents snicker, watching Neo's confusion grow into something else, where he says, what are they going to sell me? What is this, some sort of situation? They say, "Oh, yeah, you could get it from the vending machine. Different brands of lip balms are, but they're $20. And then Neo says, "Wait a second. Yeah, my lips are really, this is like, they're not just dry. You know, they weren't totally, the situation is that my lips were not totally dry. Then they were pressed together. Then they may have dried. And what was on my lips was not, you know, something, did I have something? Did I have something sweet or sticky?" And then Neo, this is experience you may have in a state that's been altered by something. He says, "Did I ever have any lips at all?" Like that song I've quoted many times before, making lips. I don't got lips. My lips have been made into nothing at all. But he says, "I can't sing that because I'm imagining now I'm lipless." And then also the whole thing of like, how would I even make a phone call? So this creates a sense in Neo of a need for somebody to say, "Hey man, just cool it down, just chill." But that's not the situation with these agents. And he says, "I'd like to go visit the vending machine and get myself some lip balm. If you gentlemen will excuse me, dudes, I don't do a good Neo." But he says, "My dudes," I don't think he does say that, but if he were to say that in this situation, he'd say, "Excuse me, my dudes, I'd like to go get some lip balm. I'm here under your care, do you actually have a lip balm vending machine?" And then Agent Smith says, "You're going to help us, Mr. Anderson, whether you want to or not." And I love saying Mr. Anderson. Sometimes I just say it like that's the only, this is one of the few, I don't know how good my actual, whatever it's called when you're trying to do somebody's imitation, it's not called that, but I'm not really good at any of them other than Miss Piggy, which is not sleep podcast thing, but I like, so I can't do the actual real Miss Piggy, but I can only do hi-ya when Miss Piggy karate chops things. And then I can't even do a full sentence where she says something, something frog, but I have to, the only way I can make it sound like Miss Piggy is if you can't hear what I'm saying, something, something frog, because she delivers it in that way. And then I can do another character that's no longer relevant. You say, Scoots, do you have any other things you could do that is less pop culturally relevant than Miss Piggy and Agent Smith? I'd say, do. I can do one line from Yogi Bear, but I can't do it on a sleep podcast either. I can't remember it because it's been so long, because it's like I've never even done this for my daughter. Because she would say, I have no idea who Yogi Bear is, but it's something, something, doobly doo or something like that. And then he says something to his kid or his, so I used to be able to do that, but I can't remember it anymore. And then I do a terrible Antonio Banderas, Mr. Anderson. What are you going to do a poor version of my, I'm going to weave something for you, Anderson. Okay, but they say, by the way, let's see. They say, hey, we'll give you, how about this? Your lips are fine, man. That was just something going on with you. Maybe the AC, I don't know. But they say, we want you to wear this special necklace. And he says, he says, what is the necklace? And it says, it's kind of like when you become a best friend in a movie. Not this movie, but instead of saying, I don't know what it is symbolically that I can't think of what it would be right now, but it says, he goes, I'm going to keep half, Agent Smith says, and you're going to keep half, and your half says my, and he goes, the weird thing is I'm going to triplicate it for all these other agents, and it's going to say dudes, and he goes, why do you keep projecting that term on me? And he says, just put the necklace on, please. And he says, is this sort of the necklace you could use to, and he goes, I thought we're friends. Neo says, well, I guess you gave me that lip balm, but I don't think I remember you giving it to me. This is going pretty well, sleepifying it, because I think we're like 10 minutes in. We're only halfway through one page. But he says, okay, I'll wear it. They say, great, man. So they put this necklace around him, and he wears it. And the necklace is a weird kind of necklace that wears its wearer. But Neo's not totally aware of the wearing of the wearer, the wearing. And so that part happens. He puts the necklace on. I guess it's a pendant with a chain. Is that different than a necklace? I'm not sure. But the idea of being under the care of agents and then putting a necklace around your neck, he starts to drift back off, confused, you know. Did I just have a dream where I needed lip balm and then three authority figures gave me a best friend necklace, but it's not like best friend? He said, was it four pieces or just two pieces that was somehow became three pieces that said, my dudes? And he wakes up in bed and says, holy cow, man. Why couldn't I have some dream was a strange, you know? And his lips are, you know, I mean, his lips, he looks at himself, he feels his lips, he says, these are kissable lips. Thank goodness I still retained my incredibly kissable lips. And he goes, well, okay, my head, you know, I'm feeling very dreamy. But yeah, okay. And then he looks down and he sees that he's only wearing his shark tooth pendant necklace, which is just a leather thing with a shark tooth. That he doesn't know this, but it's actually it's just not a shark tooth. It's made from plastic, but no one up to this point in his life has had the heart to tell him that. And luckily, because he's a fictional character, I can say it as the stand-in narrator. So again, he looks, he touches his lips again. He says, okay, very, I'm very kissable. Then his phone rings. not on vibrate, but I would presume it was on some sort of do not disturb for goodness sake, because if he had the ringer on and someone had called him, or there was some sort of other, this is, oh by the way, this is pre-notification era, PNE. So probably pre-do not disturb era. And it may have even been a landline. Now that I'm thinking about it, it was definitely a landline because, I'm dreaming of someone dreamy, but you, so yeah, we'll just say it's a land. Oh, a landline is a phone that is a stationary phone that's connected to a cord, like something you would plug in a wall, but not for electricity. It goes into a separate wall called a phone cord, which connects your phone to the phone port, or I don't know. You used to have to pay someone, if you moved into an apartment, sometimes you'd have to pay someone to put one of these in or turn it on, and you plug it into the wall. Then it connect, then you have your then you have to turn on the service just like the other thing. Back then, you didn't get your phone only did one thing, or no, two, I guess, made calls and received calls. Okay, so his phone rings, a landline. He says, okay, my phone's ringing. Keeps ringing, though, because he's, you know, he's still in a state of waking up, I guess. And he says, I got to go get this phone, man. And he answers the phone, but he doesn't say anything because he's still thinking about, he's using his, he says, do I still have this, like, whatever, chiseled jaw and kissable lips or not? Was that really a dream? Like, were my lips really stuck together, but stuck together through their own? And on the other end of the phone is a voice of Morpheus. And if you've ever thought about mythology before, you know, Morpheus is in the post-earthly dream space. In this case, Morpheus is more, I don't know if it's a nickname, but Morpheus is the name right now talking, it's no game. He's talking to Neo, but he says, hey, by the way, they're listening to this call. They're tapped in. So I got to be brief. And Neo says, the agents, and Morpheus says, I know. They got there first, but they underestimated how important you are, Neo, hearty har har. And if they knew what I knew, they would have never, even though they didn't give you lip balm, they would have never given you lip balm. Also, there's no lip balm vending machine. And Neo kind of shrugs at that and says, yeah, that makes sense. That's very like a dreamlike thing. Maybe at an airport? I don't know, other places with dry air? And Neo says, okay, He didn't even actually know if there was a conversation or he was just in his head. But he says, what about my dudes? And then he feels his shark tooth necklace. And he goes, what is going on, man? And Morpheus says, you're the one, Neo. You may have spent the last few years looking for me, Dreamcatcher. But I've spent most of my life looking for you. And Neo says, you know, that like, he says, have you heard of performance pressure, like Morpheus? And Morpheus says, you still want to meet? And Neo says, yes. He says, you know, there's this one bridge. It's in a lot of movies and used in different ways. And it's awesome. Adam Street Bridge. And Morpheus goes, Neo goes, okay. He says, meet me at Adam Street Bridge. He goes, was that ever in any of the games where you're like driving around? Or what movies was it in? But Morpheus has already hung up. So the next thing is City Street Night. It's like there used to be a song that was made into a song for commercials about being just past midnight or half past midnight. Maybe it was on the show Miami Vice. That doesn't have to do with anything, though. But it's just past the middle of the night, the time when it seems like there are no rules. You know, that everybody's up to something. That's what you're, that's what my Nana would, oh boy, nothing good happens after 9 p.m. That's the time to be in bed. Nothing good could possibly come, like, put on your lip balm and go to bed. You wouldn't be dreaming of lip balm vending machines. Who dreams of that? Who says my dudes? I don't know. But if you were in bed at 9 o'clock, you wouldn't be worried about those things. You'd be sleeping. The authority figures would not need to visit you in your dreams. And also, don't you think it's interesting that someone whose name is based on dreams and sleep is the one that may be visiting you during the, well, during your waking hours, even though you should be in bed, but you're dreaming of agents. Anyway, why am I even supposed to be narrating this? I don't know, but go to bed. But it is, you know, late at night. The roads have just been sprayed with rain. It's very cinematic. Holy cow. And Neo's walking. Neo's wearing boots, and the boots are made for walking, scraping. And people are out and about, even though it's raining, that would be a first warning sign. People are, who walks in the rain at night? I mean, I realize that the weather may be temperate, but who's walking around in the rain after dark? But Neo is, and these people who Neo feels like are looking at him. And then he reaches the bridge and he notices headlights behind him. And he turns around and the car quickly comes to a stop beside him and the door opens. There's a woman there. Also, by the way, I'm pretty sure the door is open in a strange way, which also confuses Neo. It wouldn't, you know, if you're watching it, you wouldn't be confused because you say, okay, front door opens normal, back door opens away from the front door. You see that, like, the first thing I would wonder, just like you, after the first thing I'd wonder, about the fifth thing I'd wonder is who designed these doors? Like, because it would be good for a car with people who wear face paint that you can't mention on a sleep podcast that also have poofy things and round red noses. This would be the perfect doors for them to pour out of the car. Though normally I don't think their cars have that feature. Also, most people tell me that their car is a gimmick and it's a hole in the ground. But so both doors open outward. It's a French car, you say, I want a car whose doors open like French doors. Well, that's going to be $15,000 extra, and you'll never be able to get it fixed. But will it look cool? Yes, probably. I mean, if you have someone like Trinity who says to Neo, get in, and there's someone behind the wheel, they're APOC, and that's APOC. APOC's a sizable individual. Beside APOC is Switch, and Switch was obviously tuned in to Neo's dreams because Switch is holding a hair dryer, blow dryer, but it must be battery powered because she just pulls it a little bit and it goes, woo. She's pointing at Neo's lips, and also the windshield wipers are going, the rain's outside of the car, so we have extra layers of sound and whatever that's called, kinetic motion. And Neo obviously says, what? Trinity says, it's necessary, Neo. We have to be sure. And he says, be sure about what? And she says, be sure from you. And she takes this thing, it was very complicated, like overly complicated, my only opinion. I know I'm not supposed to break from the story here, but basically what she needs to do is remove the necklace from Neo. Now, what Neo doesn't know is that his shark tooth necklace, that he thinks is his shark tooth necklace from his youth, is actually the same, it is the My Dude's necklace from his dream, which is just its sole purpose is to keep track of him. It's got some sort of tracker within the shark tooth. He still thinks that once upon a time when he was a lad, he was swimming around in the seas and found a shark tooth and then put it on a piece of leather and put it, you know, it's one of those memories he has. But just to make it more cinematic, instead of just using scissors or untying it, a super high-tech device with scanners and all sorts of stuff, and it does like an X-ray and like a chemical analysis right in front of Neo. Like it's a whole like lab, a briefcase. I mean, talk about investments, like some sort of like a groundbreaking thing that can analyze pendants or necklaces or other small wearables. So it gives a chemical breakdown, whatever. I don't know what plastic's made of, but maybe it even displays. No, no, it definitely does. It displays it first in the chemicals and it says, AKA plastic, 100%. And then even just so Neo, they make sure Neo gets it 0% shark tooth. Then it shows within it tracker for tracking. Then also says also undiscovered faint, you know, spiritual image, my. And then even shows the other half dudes, which is probably how they track him. And she looks at this whole thing and then uses, you know, takes it off. I mean, this looks like the kind of thing, you know, you do. I don't know what else you'd use it for. I mean, high tech stuff. So she clips the necklace off, but it like, you know, it has laser, like it has like a bunch of sound effects. It has to spin up, you know, green neon. And then he clips the thing. Then she throws, he goes, that's my shark tooth necklace. Then he even lets slip my dudes and everybody looks at him. And she goes, didn't like read the readout again, Neo. It's 100% plastic with a tracker inside. And Neo says, I can't believe, like, he goes, forget this whole thing, man. He, do you understand that I, you know, this is a part I didn't have time to go on a tangent for in the middle of a 10-minute tangent from 1-minute scene. But he does go into a slight thing about, so he did fill us in the backstory about how, like, it became a, like, it would, it's, I guess it would look like him as a little kid swimming. And even some of the characters, I'm not sure which one, Switch or Apoc, they get a little misty-eyed because it's such a beautiful memory. Because maybe even said, you know, I was afraid to swim. And it was my, you know, once I overcame my fear to swim, I was afraid of, you know, what was in the water. And I saw, you know, one day I would not just swim, but I would swim on the, you know, swim. And I would, you know, and then that day, and then, you know, somebody whose approval I could never meet. And I found two tooths. Maybe that's who taught him to use the term my dudes. I don't know, it's an older figure in his imaginary life. But no one has the heart to tell him this right now. And even the fact that he's seen the chemical analysis of the shark tooth, that it's not a shark tooth. And, you know, they like maybe even to further break it, she brings up, you could buy 800 of those for 0.4 cents each in bulk right now, Neo. But he says, I'm not so sure about this. And Switch says, stop the car. And then Switch says, listen up, kid. We don't get time for these shark tooth memories. We got one rule here from now on out, our way or the highway. And Neo goes, that's fine, because first of all, it's confused. So it's our way, not your way or the highway, but we're on a street. And he starts to open the door. And Trinity says, Neo, you got to trust me. And he goes, why should I trust you? Like, what? And Trinity says, Neo, you've already been there. You already know that road. You already know where it ends. And, if, you know, of course, there could be a side thing where Neo takes it literally, says, yeah, well, that's 14th, and then I take a right, you know. But instead, we catch that sweet, sweet jaw and those kissable lips, the rain, the streetlights, looking out the window. We're seeing things through Trinity's eyes almost, and Trinity says, I know that's not where you want to be. And Neo closes the door, and the car is back in motion now. And not only was, you know, if it was strange enough that the door is open in a way, you know, that's not familiar to us, except in, you know, areas where you say time travel What other car story, you know, espionage, time travel, video games, super rich people, and other things. I don't know what else, where else, you know, aspirational car ownership. If that wasn't strange enough, the fact that the streetlights as the car starts to move kind of seem a little bit green in the tinge. And if Neo really could listen beyond the raindrops, he would feel a slight hum, like a noise that's comforting, like a couple notes that kind of feel like synthesized brass, but in the best possible way, the way I can't do it justice because I don't know what I'm talking about. So, okay, so now I guess we're back. So the car's moving. His shark tooth necklace is gone, and they head off into the night. The car keeps going, So we'll be right. I'll be right back, everybody. I mean, instantaneously, and we'll look at the actual images. Then we'll see. But I don't know. That's pretty tangential. Okay, so everybody, this is your buddy Scoots again, and what I'm going to try to do here is I just watched the scene and took notes. I was going to watch it while we're in the studio, but because of the multiple layers of logging in, it's not important anyway. I think this will be better because it made me really focus on some stuff. So we'll run through this. We'll see how long that takes. And then I'll kind of look at, is there, I don't know. Also, I recorded the part you just heard. So that's already left my mind, even though I said, that's pretty good. So if I'll refresh your memory from the start here. I guess I should take it fresh, though. So welcome to Matrix Radio Theater. I don't know. At our last episode, you may remember, Neo was interviewed by Agent Smith and two other agents whose names I just don't remember. But they referred to Neo, just in case it was confusing, as Mr. Anderson. But in a little bit different voice, but I just don't have my ability to weave the weaving right this moment. Mr. Anderson, no, don't got it. Mr. Anderson, nope, still don't got it. But that's fine because Neo was interviewed by them. And probably most importantly, as you remember, they said, we're going to give you a tadpole. To keep, or maybe I said something else earlier, but now as I recall it, it was a tadpole. And Neo said, what do you mean? And they said, well, this is strange. Don't worry, it'll make more sense and less sense in a few short seconds. But we're going to give you a tadpole that lives in your armpit hair. And it won't make it, like, but trust me, it won't. And Neo said, no, thank you. I don't want any one tadpole. To care for a tadpole seems a little bit complicated. Two, what does this have to do with our interview? I thought this was work related or something. And, you know, like maybe my other activities, the dance mixes I make. Two, the idea of anything living, you know, like, and I realize there's microscopic beings out there, but other than that, I don't like, just the idea of a tadpole that lives in anyone's armpit hair seems like something I would be having in a dream. So ideally, this is just a dream, and I can soothe myself by saying that. Neo, you're just having a dream. But, and then they said, they actually, great strategy. They said, don't, and then Neo said, what if I just start to care? One more question. If I started to care for this, like I had an affinity for this tadpole or tadpoles in general, and they said, don't worry, the tadpole has evolved in a way that even if it's safe in your armpit hair. And then they tickled his sides and he lifted his armpits up naturally. And that was the last thing he remembers is that them like, you know, but he is, we can assume that a tadpole like something like a tadpole. They also said, but this was like a cut from the film. Actually, by the way, Neo, this is a, what did I say? Well, I forgot what they were going to say. They tickled them. It was a piece of not important information that a reasonable person might have asked. Was it, would the tadpole be safe in your armpit hair? Always. And then something else about it that you would have probably thought to yourself, if you're going to have this thing living in my armpit hair. I mean, you'd have other questions, right? Do I need to feed it? I thought you were doing the next scene. I don't know. There was one more question, but the answer already escapes me, that Neo would have asked before he fell asleep. I don't know. Well, also, great question. Would Neo name the tadpole in his armpit hair? I don't know. But so Neo wakes, but then this is just a dream, Neo. It's just a dream. Oh, another question. Audience members might. Was it very cute when he giggled when he was tickled? Yes, very cute. And then we have Neo waking up in bed. And there's a couple pieces of play setting I need to do. Neo, as a character, sleeps with a t-shirt on. And I don't know if we take anything, like, will Neo later in life sleep with a t-shirt? I would say probably not. So maybe this is part of Neo's character's journey. Adventure, like shirtless in the inmost cave is coming up one day. Also, Neo has, we really get a good, like some nice paneling in this attic that Neo lives in. Nice positioning of the bed, except that there's a shelf, because Neo sits up in bed waking up. Checks his armpits? Nothing. No tadpoles. I guess it does, like he pulled his, how did he check his armpits? Great question. I just saw it. I just realized he pulled his shirt collar and looked in his armpits. Which, if you're going to check your armpits, probably not the best way to get a full accounting of what, you know. But he almost, there's a shelf above his bed, one of those hanging wall shelves. I don't know if anybody has one of those in their home. Don't recommend them. They don't hold anything. Unless you have some sort of person in your house that's so useful and they know where studs are and that kind of stuff. But also, don't put them near your bed, because what if you moved around even more? Also, we get to see a little bit of, you know, we get a little personal Neo time. We see that Neo has maybe a dresser that was once a card catalog, or looks like something that was once used to hold stuff in a high school, like science lab. And like a kind of thing you could buy now somewhere for like $4,000. If somebody's smart, it's probably selling them out there. That's why I'm laughing. Also, on the top of Neo's dresser, we'll call it, there's a, the one thing I noted was there's a fish bowl. It looks like he took it from, it's full of, I think it's full of prophylactics, which is like a form, you know, like, in case, you know, for, I don't know, for if Neo's sleeping without a shirt on. Like that you'd see in a high school, health center. I said, did he take that from like a health center? Is that, I mean, I don't have like quantum dot technology at my fingertips, but that's, I said, is that a fishbowl from a high school, whatever? Because I didn't need to access those, so I don't know exactly what it's called. Nice attic, nice wall panels, nightstand, dresser, library, card catalog, raining outside. And then his phone rings, right? His phone has buttons, which I thought was important. I think the phone is a deep shade of green. And then Neo answers the phone. There's someone speaking on the other line, but if we were to watch it, he's listening intently, blinking. And on the other line is Morpheus. And first, Morpheus tries to lay on the honey. He says something like, I've been looking for you my whole life, but I got to be brief. I got to get to the point. Everybody's always underestimated you. No pressure. And what does this say? Oh, you still want to meet up? What do you think? And Neo says, what is going on, dude? Like, pretty sure I just had a dream that a tadpole was in my armpits. And he says, listen, just go to the Cinematic Street Bridge if you want to meet. And we see a shot of Neo standing, looking at these waterfalls coming off the top of the bridge. You definitely need your windshield wipers on full if you were going out there. Car pulls up actually behind Neo. And it does have the doors that I alluded to in the, like, doors. This is a classic car, but with, I don't know anything about periods of style. I don't know. Is there such a thing as a mid-century modern car door? Or mid-century, I mean, people love that. They say, car doors like that, that's mid-century. Can I get myself a mid-century, what do they call mid-century modern car doors? Oh, sure, we could do that. It's would you want us with that? You want it to go with your science lab furniture? Your vintage classic science lab furniture? And so the door opens, we see Trinity. Now, Trinity is tough to, if this was the first scene I'd watched in a long time, and I would say have the neon, is that pleather or vinyl? Or your suit, is that a vinyl suit you're wearing? Or a latex? It's shiny. That's Neo's first reaction. And also acknowledge, I'm entering a world where people go about their evenings stylish, possibly functional, depending on the breathability of it. And Neo says to himself, holy neo-futuristic situation. That's Trinity. Trinity says, get in the car. And he gets in the car, and also we see a car's got some cool lights. I don't know if those go on individually, if you wanted to do some reading, if you're in the back seat as a passenger. And Neo just gets in the back of the car. The car, I guess, starts driving right away. And as the dialogue goes on, anytime you need a little extra punctuation in the dialogue, there's a little bit of thunder and lightning to underline it. And they say, surprise, and they have noisemakers, which Neo's thrown off by, like when you blow in the thing, like the thing at a party, where you blow it and the thing unrolls. And I don't know if you've ever done this. Don't recommend it. I don't do this, but I may have done in the past. The person sitting in the front seat, she unrolls hers and it touches Neo's nose, but she does it with her eyes, like her eyes narrowed, like don't mess around here, man. And Trinity does it too, and it doesn't quite reach Neo's earlobe, but close enough. And the character in the front seat, Switch, who's not in pleather, in a sort of some sort of white suit. We only get a hint of it with matching hair matches. And the only reason that I mentioned the hair matching the suit is because of the next tangent they go on. But she says, listen up, kid, take your shirt off. And Neo is immediately confused and says, well, what kind of party is this? And two, I'm wearing a jacket. And she says, exactly, take your shirt off. And then he's what? And then she says, stop the car. Do you need the car not moving to take your shirt off? And again, he says, just take my shirt off with the jacket. I have a jacket on. Can I take my jacket off? No, silence. And he looks over at Trinity, who just nods like, yep, you got to take your shirt off with your jacket on. We don't need to over explain it like this was a sleep podcast. And again, he gets this blank look, which, I mean, relatably, anybody would. But then Switch says, listen up, Copper Top. And she starts to keep talking, but Neo is so confused by that reference. And so was I until just this time when I said, holy cow, how many times have I watched The Matrix and I never caught this piece of dialogue? But Neo totally misses it, and he says, so, did you just call me Carrot Top? Holds his hand towards his head. I don't even know if Carrot Top was a celebrity in this, like I guess Carrot Top would have been a celebrity in Neo's world, at least. So he says, Carrot Top, like Carrot Top, and she says, Copper Top. It's and then she says, by the way, you interrupted me. I was saying it's either you can take your shirt off or you can hit the road. And Neo says, fine. And he says, I'm not going to be, what is this, some sort of like joining your club thing? You blow like noisemakers at me and then I'm going to take my shirt off with my jacket on. Then I'm going to get caught up in my jacket. But realistically, I don't even know how I'd do that without my jacket falling off while I'm taking my shirt off. So, yeah, no, I'm not going to do these, like, this is like the equivalent of a reindeer game, I believe. And so he says, fine. And then Trinity says, wait, Neo, come on. Come on, please. Trust me, Trinity says, trust me. You could earn your own futuristic outfit. Just pull your shirt up. And then she plugs something into the cigarette lighter. And Neo says, there's no way that's going to blow the fuse. This car is old. There's no way that I think this. She has this giant device that I probably referred to in my other read-through. And Neo says, there's no way that device is not going to blow out the fuse. The person driving, APOC, I believe, says, dude, listen to the car. And everybody falls silent. And you hear this, you realize the car is a piece of sweet, sweet technology. That's like even more, like we say, I want an electric car, that's mid-century modern. Or, you know, and also has those cool doors and, you know, where I can use all my devices, especially super high tech ones. But just the sound of the car, you know, it's in a movie, not a sleep podcast or a novelization or whatever, would have filled it in. That sound of a car, somewhere between a whine and a hum, more pleasant on the ears than a whine. But more high-tech than a hum. But Trinity says, don't worry. And Neo says, what is this thing? And she goes, it's a armpit hair comber brusher. Kind of like one of those things. She says, do you have a dog? And Neo goes, no, but I'm familiar with dogs. I love them. And somebody up front, I don't know who says, I'm a cat person. I don't know who said it, though. I'm not going to say if it was Switch or APOC. You can make it because it's unspecified, an unspecified voice because there's so much thunder and lightning and it's just just a throwaway line. But, you know, Copper Top was not a throwaway line. Would have thought it was. But it's a seed planted. And he goes, wait a second. She extends this thing and it's very high tech. It looks like the kind of thing, if you drop something that's got little grabby hands, but they're coated with some sort of like nice stuff, soft material. And Neo goes, is this going to tickle? And Trinity says a bit, this is like, there's a somewhat extended sequence because as you could imagine, this was difficult. I mean, they do make eye contact during multiple times. And this is one of my favorite parts of the thing because everyone's trying to stifle giggles. APOC even has to pull over. And, you know, in the extra extended version, it's really good because you see both APOC and Switch I don't know. I mean, I think there maybe even were outtakes of this, bursting into laughter, holding into laughter. And I think, I mean, maybe in imaginary interviews, the cast even said, this really brought us together. Wish we would have done this on the first day. Because Trinity's got this device combing through Neo's armpit hair. And she keeps saying, sit still, come on. And he, you know, he's trying, don't laugh, just sit still, just breathe through your nose. And Neo's trying to not laugh. Also has his shirt pulled up, almost over his head. Still has his jacket on, by the way, I guess, because Trinity's got a good angle. And this thing has like a pen light on it. And that's just like a really great, like an amuse-bouche or whatever, a little bit of a pillow softener, seeing him squirming around, giggling, fighting off giggles, her giggling, a moment of levity. I think that's the right phrase I was looking for. And eventually she gets the tadpole out, and they pull up to a pond called Tadpole Pond, which leads to the assumption that it's perfectly good to drop the tadpole in the pond. So he goes, there really was a tadpole in my armpit hair. And she goes, well, maybe one day you could write a song about it. And he says, okay. And then they drive off into the night. And then we see, the next thing we see is stairways, and you say, you know, due to my limited knowledge of mid-century modern, you say, I don't know about, this is the kind of apartment building that I like seeing on film. But I don't know if I'd want to live there. Or like, it's a staircase is going up. There's checkered flooring, the big square checkers, black and white squares. So you say, okay, that's a mood. Wallpaper. And the mood is so thick, you can smell it. You could smell the mood. It's musty. It's plastery. It's a little bit moist, but it's also pouring rain outside. But it's but there's something about this that's not bad compared to, you know, walking through some ultra modern. You know, ceilings are higher. There's more. It's airy, man. And I'm not sure if I like it or I don't, but I know I have nostalgia for it either way. And they pause outside the door, and there's nice light fixtures along the wallpaper. And it's the kind of wallpaper you'd want to touch. You'd want to touch your fingers and feel the different things. And you'd even maybe, like, there was a comedian once, Jerry Seinfeld, said, wallpaper, what happened with that? People used to paper their walls. I don't know. I don't do a Jerry Seinfeld, but I said, who would make an observational comment about wallpaper at this inopportune moment in the 90s? And that's who I thought of. But, I mean, this is more about the textures and the layers. And it's Trinity who's rubbing her finger on the wallpaper, the velvet, there's a velvety part of the wall. A good wallpaper uses like a velvety part sometimes when it's appropriate for the room or the hallway and mood, which is this one it is. Looks at Neo and she says, before you go in, there's two things. One, try to be honest. Two, do not ask him about his glasses. Neo says, what? She goes, don't ask him why he's wearing or any of us wearing sunglasses indoors at nighttime. But definitely do not ask him about the fact his glasses have no sides or whatever you call them, ear holders. She goes, I'm not an optometrist, but I don't even know the ear. And he goes, ear holders. She goes, the things that hold your glasses on your ears, like these. And he goes, he's wearing glasses that have no sides? She goes, well, they have, she goes, just don't ask about them. Don't stare at them too much, but pretend you're looking at them. They're a good method for looking at them. But then if he takes them off, don't look at the glass, look at him, not the glasses. And then he says, so he don't mention the glass. He goes, is that how touchy? He goes, is that how intense Morpheus is? He's that sensitive? She goes, no, it just distracts from the conversation. And everybody's asked, like, if you're like, I guess I shouldn't be telling you this. She goes, I asked about the glasses. And he said that's the way I would have known. That's the way I know you're one of us, but not the one, Trinity. And he chuckled lovingly. And I guess I shouldn't have even told you, but Neil goes, thank you. And then he shakes his head again. And I think he just says it to glasses with no sides. What kind of world am I in now? And with that, he prepares to cross the threshold, which will be coming soon to your earbuds, your sweet, sweet ears. Whether you take your glasses, don't worry. There's no such thing as tadpoles in your armpits. Except for, one of the Emmett Otter jug band songs that was never published. But that was more about swimming in ponds than science fiction, neo-noir, whatever. So, yeah, that's it. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, Scoots. Come back next time for an episode novelized by Laura Kraft, who has written for The Colbert Report and Wanda Sykes, and narrated by 30 Rock's Scott Atsit. Stephen, unplug us from this matrix.
Sure thing, Christine. Special thanks to this week's novelizer, Drew Ackerman. The Novelizers is produced by me, Stephen Levinson, with Graham Douglas, Kevin Carter, Christine Bowen, Dennis DiClaudio, Rob Kuttner, and Suchetis Bokeel. Music by Cole Emhoff. Graphic design by Crystal Dennis. Theme song by Andrew Lynn, performed by Amy Mann. Reprise, performed by Paige Beller. Special thanks to Chris Karwalski and WYSO Radio in Yellow Springs, Ohio. The Novelizers is a work of parody unauthorized by Warner Brothers. Follow The Novelizers on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, and TikTok, and please donate to our Patreon. Copyright 2024, Novelizers LLC.
There was a matrix made of computers. There was a guy who could dodge all the bullets. He lived in fluid, just like a fetus, but he was born again like baby Jesus. Novelize that movie, write a book, and also read it too.